Let's welcome back Marty McCary. He's, of course, a great doctor. He's a Fox News medical contributor. He's professor at Johns Hopkins, and he practices there as well. He's a member of the National Academy of Medicine. He's author of the book, The Price We Pay. And, doctor, good to have you back.
Great to be with you, Guy. Thank you.
So I want to talk through some of the things that we are learning from Dr. Anthony Fauci that he is apparently saying in these closed-door meetings. He's under oath. These are hearings into the origins of COVID-19, and they're asking him a lot of questions on a lot of different topics, one of which, let's start with the origins question itself. He reportedly said earlier that, quote, I wasn't leaning totally strongly one way or the other on the natural origin, like, you know, bats in the wet market or whatever, versus the lab leak theory. And in my mind, and we've talked about this, the lab leak theory has been almost completely vindicated by all the available evidence. But that is not what Fauci said, and that is not how Fauci operated for many, many months, actively downplaying the lab leak in public, manipulating things behind the scenes, including research, in order to pursue that exact same goal. He was thanked by one of his underlings who got money from his organization, thanking him for dispelling the lab leak theory, even though it's probably true. People who were calling out the lab leak early on as a plausible theory, they were attacked by a lot of people as conspiracy theorists. And now here we are in early 2024, and Fauci under oath is saying, well, actually, all along, I never really said one way or the other. I wasn't really leaning strongly in either direction. I just don't think that that's true based on everything we know about his words and actions.
Well, it's clear that there were two Dr. Faucis, the public Dr. Fauci that dangled the animal origin theory, that downplayed the lab leak, that held up an article that he actually commissioned and suggested these were independent scientists. And then internally, we've learned that he was scrambling. He was panicking, sending emails between 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning, asking the person in charge of the gain-of-function committee questions. So internally, he was scrambling in the first few months of the pandemic. In end of January, he held this emergency meeting with all these national experts, and they told him that they thought it was a lab leak. And they, at the end of the meeting, had this conclusion that no one should speak publicly, no one should say anything that could, so, quote-unquote, feed the conspiracists. And then he was having secret meetings with the CIA, where he wasn't a registered guest, but went over to the building. So he's a smart guy. He doesn't put things on email. It's very obvious what happened. He was embarrassed. Any rational person knows this originated in the lab with a 99.99% certainty, unless you're trying to provide political cover for the guy who embarrassingly was funding the lab, and it turns out even met with the head of that lab years prior. One last thing. The lab, the Wuhan lab, had submitted the blueprint to create COVID-19 a couple years before COVID. It's in the government's hands. Now, that grant was not funded, but to suggest that, it's probably from animals, they submitted a grant to the U.S. government saying we want to take a bat coronavirus, insert a afferent cleavage site to allow it to infect human cells. That is a grant proposal submitted by the Wuhan lab to the U.S., so the blueprint was right in our hands the whole time.
And we knew that that laboratory had a whole history of bad practices and leaks and security problems. And so, like, everything points in the direction of the lab leak, especially the fact that ground zero for this brand new novel virus happened to be in the city where the laboratory was studying and working on and manipulating exactly those kinds of viruses. I mean, and yes, it turns out we were funding some of it. Fauci didn't want to admit that for various reasons, political, financial, and otherwise. So he was scrambling behind the scenes to try to downplay the reality in the early days and kind of poo-poo anyone who was connecting some pretty obvious dots. And he did it publicly. He did it privately. There was a lot of manipulation. And now, again, a couple years later, he's under oath. It's all undeniable. And he's saying, well, it was a jump ball. It was sort of 50-50 for me. And the record is crystal clear that was not the case. And this is just more revisionism and I think self-protection, self-preservation for this man. Let's talk more about Fauci. We've got a report then this one is really something. A report in the New York Post that lawmakers who were in the room said that at one point they were talking about the outcomes of so many of these shutdowns and restrictions, including devastatingly school closures and all of the terrible outcomes and results for kids in many places across the country. And the headline from the New York Post is, Fauci tells House COVID panel he's, quote, not convinced kids suffered learning loss due to the pandemic school closures. Now, I would love to get some more context on that or some confirmation of what he said, but if he is even in the zip code, doctor, of casting doubt on the reality of learning loss, I mean, that's just a credibility shredding moment in my mind.
Well, you know, remember, he's been preparing for this hearing for a year with taxpayer-funded government lawyers and flanked by federal agents for his security. And he has been in the bunker working on this for a year. And I testified in front of the same committee. I did some work in the morning. Then I drove over to Capitol Hill and just said what I believe. He's been preparing for a year. So he's carefully parsing his words to make sure that he's not, you know, blaming anyone or admitting to doing anything wrong. I would encourage him, and I would invite him, if he's listening, to come up to Baltimore. Talk to some of the teachers in inner city Baltimore. It's different from one of the wealthiest counties in America, Montgomery County, you know, and Bethesda and Fairfax and some of these places in Boston where the CDC director had her kids in school. They live in a bubble. Come look at the kids who are barely staying in school pre-COVID, and then they're given an iPad and told, you know, just log on when you go home. They didn't log on. We lost a lot of kids, and I wish they could meet the real-world people who dealt with the consequences of the policy, not just talk to people who could work in pajamas on Zoom.
Look at the data. Like, look at the test scores. I mean, to me, it's not even debatable. Learning loss from pandemic school closures is a fact. It is a devastating, brutal fact. It is one of the worst facts when it comes to the behavior of the public health bureaucracy that imposed all of these things on society. And to even, right, like, it's almost like, you know, denying the moon landing or, you know, denying historical reality. If you're going to say, well, I'm not totally convinced that the learning loss is real. Again, I would like to see the full comment maybe out in public, bring him up under oath in front of the cameras and see if he would dare to repeat that, because that just, it blows my mind. And it plays into actually an admission that was made a few weeks ago. I played this clip yesterday on the show. Former NIH director Francis Collins, at least he's being more frank, more candid about this. I would say it's way too late, but it's better than what Fauci's doing. Here's Collins talking about the public health mindset and really how damaging and myopic it is. Cut 49.
You attach infinite value to stopping the disease and saving a life. You attach a zero value to whether this actually totally disrupts people's lives, ruins the economy, and has many kids kept out of school in a way that they never might quite require.
Collateral damage.
So there, yeah, collateral damage. This is a public health mindset. And I think a lot of us involved in trying to make those recommendations had that mindset. And that was really unfortunate. That's another mistake we made.
I mean, what an admission, doctor. This is the public health mindset, that you just focus completely on one thing and you don't consider at all anything else, including the economy, people's livelihoods, the effect on children, any of that. He said, yeah, that's basically what we did. That is a real self-indictment in my view.
You know, a lot of people want some closure to COVID. You never hear an apology. And I agree. Francis Collins, former head of the NIH, came as close as you can get. He was more candid. At least you could sense a tone of humility. And
yes,
he's honest about struggling with this issue and talks about how in his faith, you know, he believes in forgiveness. And so it was a compelling statement. You saw the moderator sort of be the voice of the American people, just intense frustration and calling him out and telling him, you know, this is not a little bit of this, a little bit like this is collateral damage. Remember, the entire COVID pandemic may have been avoidable. We could have prevented the entire thing if we would have not had the Wuhan lab brew this thing up and have it spread. So then when you have a ugly response, people are angry. People want some closure. They want some humility. They're not seeing it.
Yep. That's certainly not from one Dr. Anthony Fauci, who, speaking of admissions, reportedly in this hearing, also just admitted, and I was something, this is, you've talked about this before, the whole 6 feet apart thing, where they would just come down from Mount Olympus and say, okay, unscroll the scroll, and it is 6 feet apart, spread out to stay safe, right? They had all their little slogans, 15 days to slow the spread. If you're going to be gathering in one place, you got to be this many feet apart. Even Fauci at this point seems to be throwing in the towel, saying, yeah, that was just kind of based on nothing. We just did it. I don't know if he realizes how much ruination has been done to the credibility, not just of him, but people in his whole universe, where there are so many, like, now they tell us concessions years later, like, oh yeah, that thing that we treated like it was gospel fact, we just kind of pulled it out of our you know where and forced it on society, just like a casual, it's not really rooted in data. It makes you want to pull your hair out.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I learned in the last week that just blows me away is that not only did the government try to silence and censor through social media the free speech that gave the dissenting and ultimately correct opinion on a lot of these medical topics from medical experts, but the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Medical Association and all these doctors' groups filed an amicus brief with the United States Supreme Court supporting the government in their position in the case that they should be able to censor in the interest of public health. They should be able to censor what they call misinformation, whoever defines that. So it's not like we learned our lessons at many levels. The elites and oligarchs in public health are emboldened. They feel even stronger that we have to control dissent. And one thing you will not read in the news media, which I can tell you firsthand, is people are afraid of not getting funded by the NIH. Every academic medical expert in the country needs funding for research. I need it. We all need it. Now, I had no problem speaking up, but I can tell you many people, many experts told me, Marty, I can't really say anything about this. I saw you tweet this and I like it, but I can't retweet it. I'm applying for an NIH grant this fall, and I don't want to, you know, piss off Dr. Fauci if they're an infectious
disease
doctor or Dr.
Collins. That's so, so messed up. Like, everything that you just said is so messed up, because you have these scientists overtly supporting censorship in the name of safety and science against so-called misinformation, and they were the ones engaged in many cases in sloppy anti-science misinformation, and then they just wait a few years and then kind of in some cases shrug and admit it, like, oh yeah, 6 feet, we made that up. This other thing, you're not supposed to gather in groups, but there's an exception to protest Michael, the Floyd killing. Crazy. And rather than looking back with some introspection and saying, well, maybe we were wrong about that. Maybe we shouldn't have made an exception for George Floyd and the protests. Maybe we shouldn't have come up with totally fabricated guidelines for people and treated it like it was rooted in data. They're saying, no, let's double down on censorship. That is, it is so upsetting.
And, you know, when medicine rules by opinion, when they just make stuff up and go with their gut feeling, we have a lousy track record. We got opioids wrong for 35 years. We got the low-fat diet wrong for 60 years. We got hormone therapy wrong for 20 years. We got peanut avoidance wrong. We cannot rule by opinion. That's not how science is done. We've got to do good studies and invite dissenting opinions.
Very quickly, doctor, I've seen again a new little smaller, thank goodness, but boomlet of mask mandates coming back various places. I think I saw one of them was Baltimore City Hall. All of a sudden, the grand scientists that run the city of Baltimore have decided if you're going to show up at City Hall, you have to put on a little cloth mask again, even though we all know it doesn't work. The mask mandates don't work. The data's in, but we're back to it. It's like, are there certain people who are just beyond educating, beyond help on this stuff? And how can we avoid having them in power anywhere?
Well, we are going to go back to a mask mandate here at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And there's a lot of doctors who are angry about it. They've asked for the data. They've asked to do a study if they don't know. They've really pushed back. But all these decisions are made by a small group of people. And I believe a lot of this stuff is based on bad information they have. And it's a political badge. They stand in solidarity with the pro-mask effort, despite all the data you referred to.
Yeah, it's very much anti-science. It's pro-political science. It's a little totem. Look, we're on the right tribe. We're on the right team. And look how so much of that has harmed our society. Look where that mentality has gotten us. It's disgraceful, which is why we are still doing segments on these subjects in 2024, because it matters, and the people who need to have learned the lessons in many cases have not. Exhibit A, Anthony Fauci. Someone who was right basically all along, Dr. Marty McCarry, our guest, because he has credibility here, Fox News medical contributor, professor at Johns Hopkins. Doctor, we appreciate it.
Thanks so much.